Well, welcome everyone to this week's edition of Inside Harvard Football. Bernie Corbett pleased to be joined once again by the head coach of the Harvard Crimson, Andy Orrick. We take a look back to last Saturday and a look ahead to this Friday, a short week for the Crimson to get back in action against one of the perennial powers in FCS, the UNH Wildcats at Harvard Stadium. Coach, welcome to the show. And as we welcome you, there's the highs, there's the lows, and everything in between of being a head coach. So you've experienced quite a bit and quite a range of emotions in your first 2 weeks.
Yeah, definitely. You know, this past week was a tough one that, there was a lot of opportunities to put that thing away, and we did. Ultimately, they did. And, a lot that we're learning from it, and it's going to help us as we move forward here.
It's amazing. We spoke a little bit yesterday about it, but the eerie similarity to the last couple of seasons, the Harvard-Brown game where Harvard had leads, Brown chipped away, suddenly they're back, suddenly it's a one-possession game, just not quite able to deliver that knockout punch early on. But I think in one regard, really a testament, Andy, you've been around this league for a long time, player, assistant coach, now a head coach, of just the parity is real in the Ivy League in terms of how these games can go and the fact that so many of them are one-possession games down the stretch.
Yeah, I give Brown credit. They played extremely hard. They stayed focused and just kept chipping away at it. And we gave them opportunities, and they took advantage of them. And ultimately, someone's going to take advantage of the opportunity. They did a great job doing that.
Got off to a good start, 14-0 at the end of the first quarter, and there is certainly some chemistry, some magic, some simpatico right now between Jaden Craig and Cooper Barkate. The fact that these guys have been now seem to be connecting on a regular basis, accounting for two touchdowns. Barkate had a big day with 6 for 90 and the two touchdowns, but great to see that combination. You get a lot of weapons on offense, but that one is really looking to be a go-to with the two of them on the same page almost all the time.
Yeah, and they actually are roommates. So,
yes.
So there's that added connection being roommates. They both are playing at a very high level, and we're going to need them to continue to do that moving forward here.
As far as the running game, was some ups and downs there in terms of what you were able to do in the first half. But again, Brown seemed to be successful in shutting down McLaughlin, shutting down the running game. Bascone had some help, but some things that you're probably looking to adjust just in terms of execution there to get a little bit better in sync on the run blocking when you really need it in situations running the clock, etc.
Yeah, that's one of those areas that we definitely got to make improvements on. The guys definitely know that we had opportunities there in the fourth quarter where if we could take the game over the run game, it would have ended the game, and ultimately we didn't. So those guys are working hard. We have ways to help them out, and ultimately, the key is we continue to focus on getting better and being a better version of ourselves when we get out on the field on Friday night.
You talked about getting your best athletes on the field, about getting balls to your playmakers and touches. We saw evidence of that in a prominent and impactful way with the way that you employed Charles DePriemer. I would suspect that probably going to see more of that, maybe even some more innovation and some new wrinkles to be able just to get the ball in the hands of a guy that's got so much ability.
Yeah, he's so talented and so dynamic when he has the ball. So we got to make sure that he's touching the ball enough. And there's other guys like that, too. Mm-hmm. Scotty Woods is going to make sure he's touching the ball enough because he didn't get enough on Saturday, and he was impacting the game positively when the ball was in his hands. So, I'm excited to see this role for Charles continue to grow, along with just making sure, again, like you mentioned, we're getting touches for the right people, even beyond him.
And defensively, some good moments overall, but a couple of plays in particular, often it's one or two plays that are impactful. And you had the early splash play, chunk play that they had to Miller. That was, as I like to say, down central. And then, of course, the one later on with the running back out of the backfield with Childs. It looked like you were, cover two both times, and they just took advantage down the middle. But I'm sure that the coverage decisions weren't what you expected in that situation.
Yeah, Yeah, we didn't. The reality is, we just didn't execute the call that was made, and you know, those corrections are being handled, and so that's not an issue in the future. I was really proud of the defense. A couple of those stands they had in the red zone that, you know, allowed us to continue to stay in front there. And the reality is, like, because the offense wasn't you know, moving the ball there in the end of the third through the fourth, you know, put a lot of stress on the defense, and you know, we were out in the field a long time, and you know, it wears on you, and you know, when you get tired, it's harder to focus, and that's when mistakes definitely happen.
Yeah, the second half time of possession was, I don't have it in front of me, but I mean, that was one that became a pretty big discrepancy there with the amount of time that Brown did control the football in the second half, and it does have that wearing effect. There is a level of attrition.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, I give those guys credit, because that first half they played was a great first half of football. But ultimately, you got to play four quarters. And you know, complementary football is really, really important. And either side has to pick up the other one at different points, different games, and you know, ultimately, we weren't able to do that in the end of it.
And a guy that really seems to be emerging and really relishing his new role. You had experience outside at the linebacker position. Little and Gonser had a lot of time. Marcus Alexander, once again, we've talked about a couple of times, big cleats to fill in the middle with Hudson, but he's your leading tackler, and he seems to be really developing that sideline-to-sideline ability that is very important at that position in your defense.
Yeah, he's gotten better you know, every week since we started training camp, and you know, he's someone that, you know, we're counting on to play a lot of football for us this year. So it was really good to see him go out there and play as hard and as well as he did.
And big plays in the secondary from Henderson and Shipman, particularly on passes that they broke up. But again, their athleticism really coming to the forefront. A couple of guys that you can trust in coverage and otherwise.
Yeah, and they were. I mean, they battled with those receivers all day. Couple great examples of them just having poise when under pressure and able to you know, dislodge the ball. And it was, it was really good to see. And, you know, we can build off of that move forward here.
Definitely with your mantra of disrupt the ball. They disrupted Brown pretty effectively in a couple of those situations, taking the 2-point conversion away, to name one.
Yeah. That, you know, that was one of the ones that went through with replay, and I thought they might get to tell you the truth.
Right.
And I was a little surprised when they came back and said it was incomplete, but that's why they have replay.
Yep.
They can take a closer look at it.
No doubt about that. And I also think somewhat lost was Sebastian Tasco had a really strong game. I'm kind of become accustomed to him being a veteran, but 43-yard average. He had a long of 54 and dropped a couple very nicely inside the 20. I mean, yeah, that's a weapon that close ball games, field position, shift in the game, very important.
Yeah, he had a great game. And that unit in general had a really, really good big game. You know, the guys protecting did a great job, and then the gunners on the outside, they were winning all day and flying down there. So the only one they did try to return, it was like an immediate hit on him. So, you know, the goal on that every play is, you know, no return yards. And the easiest way to get no return yards is for us to have a great punt, so it's up there high and he's got a fair catch. And, you know, Sebastian did that a number of times on Saturday.
No doubt. And you mentioned about giving Brown credit. I think specifically at the forefront of that was Jake Wilcox. And again, 50-year senior quarterback, and showed every bit of that in terms of kind of a warrior mentality to be able to really kind of will the Bears back in that game. He was tough to handle. You had pressure on him. You got a couple of sacks in situations, but he hung in there. And once again, sometimes you just tip your hat to a great effort. He had a great effort.
Yeah, he's a winner for sure. And he, you know, we knew going into the game that he was gonna extend plays with his feet. Keep his eyes downfield, and he also did a great job when, you know, he took it and just started running, and was able to make guys miss, and, you know, definitely very, very talented, and I'm sure he's going to continue to build on that for the rest of the season.
And coming down to the sequence at the end, again, lost in it is And I'm glad you brought it up because it absolutely, you got to mention the job the defense did, goal line stand situation that they had, and getting the stop there late when you were able to take over. But, you know, again, we talked yesterday about it. What the book says, what the percentages say, everything points in the direction of, what would you say, 100 out of 100 to be able to kick that field goal and make it an 8-point to make them have to come all the way and then all the way to get a 2-point conversion to tie a game instead of being in a position where they might take a lead.
Yeah, it was, that was one of those ones after the game, because of the result of that play, you start questioning things. And, when I took some time to think about it and talk to people and did a little more research, I would still do it because, just as you said, you go from a 5-point game to an 8-point game. And, the saying is, an 8-point game, it isn't really a one possession game because you got to score a touchdown and you got to get a 2-point conversion. So
right.
You want to put yourself in that position, especially with that much time on the clock. So it was unfortunate how it all went down. And, as I told the guys after the game, there's no single one play that ultimately leads to whether you win or lose. So there was a lot of different opportunities throughout the game that could have changed that outcome. And, we all had to own up to our part of it for us to move forward.
And even with the fact that Hudson, the one player, when the ball was back on the turf again, only one player can pick it up and advance further. He happened to be the guy that picked it up and advanced further, so 33 became 46 and got him that much closer. It was really the imperfect storm, if you will, of all those circumstances conspiring.
Yeah, it was bizarre
sure.
Watching it all play out, for sure.
No doubt about that. And Coach, you did take ownership and accountability. Your quote after the game about, on me with the clock management. Was that really just addressing the one incompletion that Craig, the attempt to Odom, was that specifically what you're referring to in that situation? Or just, that one play opened it up to leave more time on the clock?
Yeah, that was the one that specifically I was thinking of. And, that drive just in general leading up to it, what analytics tells you in those scenarios, you got to make sure when you bleed the clock, like you snap that thing at 1 second.
Right.
And, accumulation of that with, that play that would have kept the clock running, wouldn't have been any time left in the clock. So, that was immediately what I told the guys. I'm like, I'm putting this one on me. I could have protected you from this situation at the end. By handling that better, for sure.
Well, we move on now, and let's take a look at Friday and what's up next. Ranked team in the FCS, not surprisingly. They seem like they're a ranked team year in and year out. The UNH Wildcats, that program, Sean McDonald, an old friend of mine that really put him on the map and kept him on the map for a long time. And now Ricky Santos, who was an outstanding Wildcat quarterback. They're 3-1 overall. They're only lost to Central Florida, to a bowl championship team, and 1-0 in the CAA so far. As far as this team and your expectations of them coming in, what have you seen to get yourself ready for the task at hand on Friday?
Yeah, they're really talented on both sides of the ball. I'll start with special teams. They're special teams, but they are well coached. They're schematically challenging. They play really hard. They got athletic guys. It's definitely going to be our biggest challenge of the year on special teams. Watching the tape of them, and then when you get into their offense, they have a transfer quarterback who came in from Shepherd University, who had been at BMI before then. He every week looks like he's getting more and more comfortable. He throws a great ball. Sits in the pocket there and delivers it. They have big play after big play, taking shots down the field with some really talented receivers. One that transferred from Wesleyan, and he's had a big year so far. Their running back number 26. I've been really impressed with. He's a guy that you got to wrap up when you go to tackle him. If you just try to dive at him, he's All-American in some form, mm-hmm. and they've backed it up so far this year. You know, they're thick, but they're also really twitched up and athletic. So it's going to be a big challenge for us on the edge when those guys start pass rushing. But they're big inside. And, you know, they're athletic at linebacker. You know, they got a safety, Wanda Owens, who was the captain last year at Yale, who was a transfer there, who is a really good player. So it's a there's a reason they're ranked as high as they are. They're a really talented team, and they do a lot offensively, mm-hmm. challenge you, and you know, defensively, like they are schematically sound. Like you watch them, and you could tell that their guys know how to fit runs, just with how they react to certain things out there. So I'm excited for the challenge. I know the players are as well.
And you've got some familiarity, you told me, with Coach Ricky Santos from when he was interested in joining the Princeton Tiger staff.
Yeah, we got to spend a day together and talk a little football, so it would be good to see him pregame and say hello and, you know, both remark about where we're at now compared to the last time we talked.
That's right. Both in the number one position. And overall, Coach, it brings up, you know, you got a test like a UNH team that's had such great success at this level now for a long time. Your theory, you know, you inherited a schedule now. Schedules are made well in advance. But your theory, like the opportunity to play the challenge of a team that's a playoff, it seems like they're always kind of a contending playoff caliber team. That's something you relish, you know, maybe you look to where you can make to fill some holes in the schedule moving forward.
Yeah, I was really excited when I saw him on the schedule. Mm-hmm. I think this game is going to make us even more prepared for the rest of the season.
Sure.
When it's all said and done, you know, we're not really focused on that part of it right now. We're just focused on trying to be 1-0 on Saturday. But I think it's great for our guys to get to go against this type of team for sure. I hope we can get some more of these in the future for sure.
Mm-hmm. That'll be great to look forward to also. And of course, the whole theory, you come off a game, you know, as we say, bizarre game as you played on Saturday, not the result you want. The short rest, you think, as far as the mentality, you've been on the field for a couple of days, it's a short week, but sometimes coaches say, hey, it's the benefit to get right back up again and to be able to get right out there and be able to see an opponent again quickly after a game such as Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, what I told the guys is, you know, no one's going to feel sorry for us that we lost. You know, UNH doesn't care that we lost Brown. They're focused on trying to beat us, so. You know, you gotta learn from it. You gotta move on because we got another opponent to prepare for, and we have, you know, our third one game season where we're trying to go 1-0. You know, they've had the right mindset, and you know, we've put together two really good days so far.
Health update: things look okay coming out of Saturday and coming into this this week on Friday.
Yeah, we're healthy. We're healthy. Yep. You know, we've kind of, you know, modified things. Practice because of, you know, the fact that it is a short week to make sure that, you know, the guys are feeling good on Friday night.
85 years since these two teams met. Contrary to popular belief, I was not in attendance. Harvard, it's been a long time, and great to see this rivalry renewed. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and it has been a lot of fun with these Friday Night Lights forays at Harvard Stadium. Coach, I'm sure this Friday will be no exception, and sure there'll be a lot of UNH people who make the trip down, and I would suspect it's going to be a great atmosphere for football, so just ready to tee it up and get back out there.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Just like you said, I've heard that these Friday night games are a lot of fun, and we get really good crowds for them, so I'm excited for our guys to play in front of a good crowd and show that crowd all the work they put in this week.
Absolutely, and looking for that work to pay off. It'll be the Crimson on Friday night. Yes, Friday Night Lights at Harvard Stadium. 7 o'clock game as Harvard and UNH will battle once again for the first time since 1939. Coach, thanks very much once again for joining us here on Inside Harvard Football, and look forward to seeing you down on the field pregame on Friday.
Sounds good, Bernie. Thanks for having me.
Coach Andy Orick getting us started here this week on Inside Harvard Football. Bernie Corbett pleased to be joined on the defensive side this week. Our Crimson profile is the Crimson middle linebacker out of Las Vegas, Nevada, Marcus Alexander, senior linebacker out of Las Vegas, Marcus Alexander. Marcus, welcome to the show. Great to have you join us here this week.
Awesome. Great to join you. Great to speak with you. Yeah, looking forward to our conversation.
Absolutely, Marcus. And I've certainly enjoyed your play over the first 2 weeks of the season. I mean, the key in terms of a team and team success year in and year out to have a successful, I always say anybody can have a good team, but it's a successful program, is guys stepping up and being able to take on greater responsibility. And you're a tremendous example of that here so far in the young season. Big cleats to fill as the starter at middle linebacker with the departure of Matt Hudson. And you've really filled in with great poise and skill here in the first 2 weeks. What about your ascent now to have that opportunity to anchor that linebacker core?
Yeah, like you said, just in the past, we've had great linebackers come through here, Jordan Hill, Matthew Hudson, and it's kind of they've set the standard for what a linebacker should be here. So kind of just building upon what they kind of established as the standard is what I kind of pride myself on, but it's been great to kind of fill in that role, play alongside Mitchell Gonzer and then Eric Little. They've been great this whole season, great last season. And it's just kind of being a Harvard linebacker has been great this season. And, yeah, just building upon what the past greats have done as well.
And once again, following at the position as the starter, Matt Hudson, I'm sure that Matt Hudson, educational process for you to come up and develop in the system and learn from him. He was an outstanding player. And as you just informed me before we started the interview, playing very well for a fifth year at Memphis this year.
Yeah. And then just the way that he prepared as well, he took a very professional approach to it and kind of just seeing how he took preparation before games super seriously, the aspects that he focused on. It was great to kind of sit behind him for couple years and learn what it really takes to kind of replicate that type of success that he had in this program. So, yeah, and it's great to see him kind of do his thing at Memphis. He's been playing great over the past couple of games, so really excited to kind of watch that continue for the rest of the season.
No doubt, and I see a lot of similarity in terms of the play, and I always say kind of the classic middle linebacker play, the ability to go sideline to sideline to make plays, and we've seen evidence of that in your game here, a case in point, 11 tackles to lead the way against Brown this past Saturday.
Yeah, no, definitely. Sideline to sideline is just, I feel like, what a middle linebacker is expected to do. And the way that Coach Larkey kind of runs the defense, it gives the middle linebacker a lot of abilities to make plays like that. So that's been really awesome. The Brown game didn't end in the way that we wanted it to, but it put a lot of things on film that we can build upon. And use it as a great learning lesson.
Mentioned about Coach Larkey, veteran presence on the staff, defensive coordinator, but also your position coach and a linebacker of note that I remember during his Harvard career.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like anybody that comes to the Harvard football program, especially linebackers, hears the tale of Larkey when he was here, of just being a great player and even better coach. And it's really easy to get coached by someone who knows the game as well as he did, and someone who has a legacy as good as him. So it's been great to kind of learn from him.
And for the team, I mean, it was a bit of an aberration in terms of the transition this year. Oftentimes, a new coach will come in, and it's a whole new staff. But Coach Orrick coming in, I think he had a real appreciation and perspective about the program, what the program has been, the success of it being in place. The fact that so much of the staff was retained, including Coach Larkey. So what has that really meant to you as a veteran member of this team, the transition from Coach Murphy to Coach Orrick this season?
Yeah, initially I just didn't know what to expect with a new coach coming in because it seems like a lot of programs, and whenever they have a new coach come in, they clean staff. But when Coach Orrick came in, he came in really open-minded and kind of wanting to learn as a leader from the coaches around him and really taking insight from the people around him to see what it really means to, like, coach at Harvard football, which all the players really appreciated. He kind of morphed his coaching style to suit the Harvard kind of way, and he's made a lot of great changes just in administrative aspects, but really valued that Harvard football tradition. And all the players see it and really appreciate that. And
It's been great to have him come in. We love Murph. We always will. Mm. And it's great to see a coach that comes in and really gets what it is like to be an Ivy League coach and Ivy League player. Just because he came from Princeton, so
yep.
he knows what it's like and he understands what it's like to be a player. So yeah, I feel like we haven't missed a beat.
No question. It seems like it's been a very smooth transition. And once again, it was a disappointing and a rather bizarre finish, kind of a crazy finish to the game. I mean, it can happen. I've seen some crazy ones over my time at Brown. Imperative, I know you guys want to put that one behind you and move on. What about this week? The fact, good news, bad news to you guys, that it's a short week to get right back out and have a chance to play under the Friday night lights at the stadium this week.
Yeah, well, just excited for this week because every week's a new opportunity to kind of just play our style of football. And like you said, it was disappointing with the Brown game, but one of the big emphasis that Coach Orrick and especially Coach Larkey had after the Brown game was kind of detach the emotions from it and look specifically at just each play. How can we do this play better? Mm-hmm. How can we improve on this? And just kind of focusing on how we can be better for the next week and less of focusing on the disappointment of the game and more focusing on how to get better. So that was great to kind of have that emphasis after that game because, of course, we were super disappointed, but we have a game on Friday, shorter week, so we really needed to hone in and get ready to play again. So they did a great job at that. And it's super excited for this Friday game. Great team coming in. Yeah, and defense is just looking good. We're ready and really excited to play tomorrow.
Got to ask you also, as far as defensive responsibilities, oftentimes the middle linebacker is right in the middle of it as far as defensive calls and what the defensive alignments are. Is that a position that you're in now with Simpatico, with Coach Lackey as the coordinator?
Yeah, definitely. But also just the defense is the way that Lurkey runs the defense is there's a lot of responsibility put on every position. So the safeties know the defense through and through, as do the linebackers. Mm-hmm. But sometimes the linebackers have to make specific calls, but it's great having people behind you that know what the calls are going to be, so they're,
right.
they're kind of expecting that already, and then the D-line with veterans just knowing what's going to happen as well. So although the words might be coming out of my mouth sometimes, everybody on the defense already knows what's going to happen, so it's kind of great to play with such knowledgeable players like that.
Makes it very seamless there, which is important to be ready and to be aligned from play to play. Hometown, we talked about this before we turned on the tape recorder formally. I was interested. Hometown, Las Vegas, Nevada, but played high school football at Cherry Creek, Colorado, coming out on the way to Harvard. Just to give us some insight about that, a little bit of a circuitous route that you took to Harvard in terms of some of the circumstances that you had to deal with.
Yeah, definitely. It's a bit of an unorthodox route, but so grew up in Las Vegas and then played my first year of high school football in Vegas, which was my sophomore year. I kind of picked up football my sophomore year in high school and then really loved it. And going into my junior year, we unfortunately had a coaching change. At my high school, we really just didn't have a coach going into the season. And so just loved the game, wanted to get recruited for it, and had some family out in Colorado that I just moved in with and just was living with them to go play some football in Colorado. Happened to be in the Cherry Creek zone, so I got to play at Cherry Creek, which is just a great program. Got to play under Coach Dave Logan, if anybody knows who that is from Colorado. Just Denver sports legend. Taught me a lot about the game, and then just through playing there, became a much better player. Got recruited to Harvard, and that was a no-brainer just to end up here.
Really, as many say, sometimes you just know. You step on the campus, and I'm sure that was part of your experience where you said, hey, this is the place. It's tough to not feel that way when you see the whole what Harvard's all about and kind of project what your experience is going to be if you do make the decision.
When I was getting recruited, I thought I knew what it meant to be like a Harvard football player and like be a student here. But when I got here, I was just even more blown away about how amazing the experience has been. And each year, it's just became better and better. So just really happy with my decision to end up here.
We also talked a little bit about the experience of the stadium and referencing the Roman Colosseum and the similarity between Harvard Stadium. I happen to mention the movie Gladiator, and you've actually got a little personal story about the movie Gladiator, about your name, Marcus Aurelius Alexander.
Yeah, I do.
Please relate that to us. I think that the Crimson Nation will be very interested in that particular tale.
All right. Yeah, so my father just loved the movie Gladiator. And so when he found out he was having a son, he wanted to name him Marcus Aurelius just because he loved the movie. He kind of looked up who that was, like loved his philosophy. So ended up naming me Marcus Aurelius. My middle name's Aurelius. So it's kind of poetic to be playing in Harvard Stadium now, just because it is kind of reminiscent of the Coliseum, and it's just kind of full circle.
Indeed, very well stated there, and once again, 1903, the oldest stadium in North America, the first time they poured concrete to build a stadium, and thus the similarity. We just talked about that before we started the interview, Marcus, that they didn't have anything else to model it on except the Roman Colosseum. So what the heck do you think it was going to look like, you know? And still here we are 121 years later, and still the stadium still stands, and it'll be rocking on Friday night for Friday Night Lights, with the first meeting between Harvard and UNH since 1939. So it's been a while since the Wildcats of UNH and the Crimson of Harvard have had a chance to tussle, which we'll have an opportunity to see when we kick it off on Friday night. Marcus, thanks very much. Really appreciate you joining us, and best of luck to you and the Crimson on Friday night, and well, to the following Friday night, and you know, 1-0 every week all the way until the Yale Bulldogs come to the Coliseum/Stadium in November. All the best.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate speaking with you, and looking forward to seeing the fans out there on Friday.
That is Marcus, I'm going to say it, Aurelius Alexander, the senior middle linebacker for the Harvard Crimson out of Las Vegas, Nevada. Our guest here this week, our Crimson profile on Inside Harvard Football.